Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
15:25.
Hi, Chris. Three ring begins on this number. Thanks very much. Bye bye.
I love that music. Columbus Park, Lower Manhattan. You're about to hear a chat with Alex Prober. Alex is a wonderful person and has designed some incredible things. Swimming pools, things for your pets, furniture. She does art as well. And you should check out her stuff, Studio Prober, on Instagram. And yeah, Columbus Park, we've just had the chat, but you're going to listen to it now. And this is a great park. I thought I would, just do the intro here, but we're on the edge of Chinatown and there's a lot of people playing dominoes and card games and things. It's really, really popular. A statue here of Dr. Sun Yat-sen, the nationalist Chinese leader, and it says, "All under heaven are equal," which is surely a great... thing to say. I like that philosophy, Dr. Sun. If you like Park Date, please do subscribe and like and leave us a review and follow us on socials at Park Date Podcast. And I'll say goodbye from New York for now and enjoy this chat with Alex Prober. Welcome to Columbus Park in Lower Manhattan on a beautiful, sunny, fall day. You can hear in the background lovely music, and I'm here with Alex Prober. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were talking about where to meet today, and you suggested Columbus Park. I've never been here before, and I was just walking through, and there's lots of Chinese people. We're near Chinatown. It's got a lovely, lovely atmosphere, hasn't it? A statue of Dr. Sun Yat-sen, and people playing cards and dominoes and things.
Dogs playing ball.
Yeah, there's a dog playing ball.
Yeah, exactly. No, I like when you asked me about the parks, on purpose didn't want to do one of those big ones, but I actually did spend a lot of time in this one for unknown reasons, really. But it's an awesome one just because you experience like a little bit of the culture that New York has, and all the pockets of different, melting pot of all these people, but then the pockets where they're like, we're pretty much not the only not Chinese right now in the park, and which is lovely. And in the mornings you see a lot of women just doing their morning ritual workout all together, and there's going to be like 20-30 women in all ages just doing that. So I just remember that very fondly from this park. And
you were telling me, weren't you, about the women doing the workouts in the morning.
It looks cool.
Yeah, is that like Tai Chi or
something? I think so, like that. And some are like 80 years old and some are 20, so it's kind of awesome to like witness that. And it's like very New York.
It is, isn't it? I love it when you see old people staying fit and healthy. Oh, is it? It's a spaniel, I think, isn't it?
It's a spaniel. It looks very cute. I miss my dog right now. He's on the West Coast, but I'll be back there tomorrow.
You're going to be back there, exactly. Yeah. When the spaniel came over, Alex was like, oh. I think he might come and play with us in a minute. Alex said, we're on a soccer field. Alex said, meet me on the soccer or football, as we'd say in England, field. Wearing a flowery dress. You look very, very beautiful and very cool in your... in your dress, Alex. And
Thank you. You
love color, don't you? You always
I do love color.
Yeah.
I grew up in Germany in a family of doctors, and they are not much fun. They're not fond of color that much, so the house was always black and white, and the only color we had was navy.
Yeah.
And so I think somehow that's how I'm like the black sheep in the company, turning like everything into color.
Yeah.
And my grandma actually, the one that I spent most of my childhood with, she used to be a florist, and she was the only one wearing color and patterns on patterns and things like that. So I kind of like come after her for sure.
Yeah, I remember when we talked before, when I was doing an interview with you, Alex, you mentioned about your grandma being a florist, which is really, really vivid. Vivid memory. But that's funny about, it's funny about Germany as well, isn't it? It's like in Berlin, for example, I don't know if you know, color is actually illegal by state law. It's the law that you have to wear black, and everything has to be black. So there's not really much color there, is there?
There's gray, there's shades of
yes, gray is allowed. Gray is
shades
allowed.
Of black.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So I just just growing up with not much of that, I think I turned into quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And
so you used to be based all the time in New York, didn't you, Alex? And now you split your time between the West Coast and New York. So this is a sort of rare visit. It was good that we could catch you while you were here.
Yeah, I'm mostly on the West Coast now, but every now and then for projects, I come in. Yesterday I had a gallery opening in the city, so I came in. But most of my time right now is just like, maybe I'm old, but I was 4 years in New York, like hustling, and then now I'm on the West Coast, and COVID kind of like reset you. And like, you know, we have a dog now, as mentioned earlier, and it's just like a very different lifestyle. I'm very busy still, obviously, with work and my studio, but in a setting that is not as busy anymore. So you kind of like, I don't know, there's like just more relaxation that I appreciate, which I didn't know that I was missing when I was living here, because you're always like on the go. But then I'm here every now and then. I was like, okay, I miss it so much. I love New York. It's the best city ever. So
yeah, it's intense, isn't it? I love like how vibrant,
and
crazy and exciting the city is.
It's
great, overwhelming, and there's so much. So you had your opening last night. How did that go? Was it a success?
It was fun. Yeah, it was like a lot of friends I haven't seen for a while because of COVID and other reasons, and distance and time and all that stuff. But yeah, it was a very special show for me, actually, because as just previously mentioned, my grandma is very important for me, but the whole show is a homage to her. So every painting, every sculpture is based on a memory I have with her from the past, and she's alive, she knows about it, she is excited. So it was a very special show for me, and very florally because of her. I think it's good. You should check it out online.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone should go and look at that. I think it's really nice when you have those personal inspirations. Your grandma obviously figures very largely in your consciousness, and yeah, that's so sweet that you could pay tribute to her by making the pieces that are, like a homage to her, right?
Yeah, and she, I always text her with images of things I work on. And she always tells me what she likes and doesn't, and so I on purpose didn't tell her that I'm doing it for her, and so I was like waiting until she figured something out, and she did figure it out.
Did
so
she?
She did. So I was just like, great, succeeded, because like she, it's still me, and it's a lot of like what people know from my work, but she saw the change of a lot of things in there, and a lot of like gradient use, which I normally don't use much in gradient, like from floral worlds. And she was like, wait a minute, that's the shirt I wore like in 92. And I was like, yeah, that's your shirt, you know, that I kind of like abstractly painted and stuff like that. So so she figured it out by herself, which was good.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Grandmas are so important in your life, aren't they? I always talk about my one of my grannies in particular. I have very, very potent memories of her, and she was quite a large figure in my life, and I think grandmas are incredible, aren't they?
They're the best, and if you still have them, call them.
Exactly, yeah. call your granny now, go and spend time with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to have that in your life.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, why don't we go for a little stroll around the park, and we can we'll talk some more. Let's walk around the soccer field, and then we'll walk over to the...
Sounds good. It's also fake grass.
Yeah, it's fake grass, isn't it? Exactly, like astroturf or something.
Some kind of astroturf, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So What are some of your sort of memories of parks, Alex? Do you remember going to maybe with your granny or with your parents or something? Do you remember going to parks when you were younger?
Well, the part where I'm from in Germany, it's not a very big town, and there weren't many parks per se. Yeah. There's still not many like parks or playgrounds, but it was surrounded kind of in nature and hills, so yeah. We would go like mushroom picking and things like that.
Oh,
but
nice.
not much of park life there.
Yeah,
but a lot of nature.
Yeah.
So in New York, you have the other contrast, right? You have lack of nature, but then you find it in the park.
Yeah.
So like especially with friends having kids and stuff, in the time that I was living here, a lot of time was spent in the park just because you know you can just bring the kids, picnic, and just hang out with friends. You don't have to like go to a fancy restaurant and stuff. So we did spend a lot of time in the park just to like reset, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though it's hard to in some because you hear all the music and all the noises still, but you can just still shut that off.
Yeah, and you can find if you go to the you know bigger parks like Hyde Park in London or Prospect Park here, you can get a kind of solitude that is quite hard to find.
Yeah.
In the city, right?
Like Prospect Park, I used to live in Brooklyn, so that's the park I would like run in, and you actually felt like you're not in the city.
Yeah, it feels like the countryside, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you can't see,
bit,
there's a bit
hilly.
Where you, it's hilly, you can't see any buildings. It tricks you to thinking maybe you've gone upstate or something.
A little bit. There's parts of it. You can get lost for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, I think New York had some ladies playing like card games over there. I love this. I feel like from what I've read about how, maybe you remember this, but I think New York had a problem with like looking after the city for a lot of years, and I think parks kind of got forgotten about. But it strikes me this park is in really nice shape, and whenever I go to Fort Greene Park or Prospect Park, they all look like they've been very well cared for. Like
they've
kind of brought the parks back in New York, I think, quite.
Yeah, I think they have
well,
like all park teams like that actually, and they commission a lot of art into parks and
exactly
same with subways and like all the they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive actually. So yeah, tick for park New York Parks and Rec Department, because
exactly.
I think they do quite a good job really, like keeping them well tended and. Yeah, obviously you can see there's so many people here. I think when you live in a small apartment in the city, you kind of need that space, don't you, to kind of get out there. And
you do, for sure. Or just any like, or you just get a rental car and go upstate, but you definitely need that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Alex, what was sort of some of the reasons that you chose to go down the road that you went down into art and design? Were you kind of inspired at an early age to do that, or was it something that came later to you?
No, I mean, it was always in me, I think, but I didn't find it for a while just because my parents aren't not very much like art lovers or museum goers and things like that, very much into science. And I think they were immigrants from back in the day from communist Poland to Germany, so they kind of like wanted my brother and I to have safe jobs, and that's not art or design. So like nowadays obviously it's a little bit better, but so I actually started with med school. I went to dentistry school and then just to like kind of tick the boxes for them, but I just couldn't do it. And then I spent some time in like exchange programs in Ohio actually as a high schooler, and attended a lot of like outside art classes and I lived with a family there for a year that were super into arts, and the mom used to be a designer back in the day at DKNY and stuff, so that was kind of, I was like 15, 16, that's the time where I was like, wait, I can be an artist or a designer. So it was like that's the time when I just realized I could be. And then when I left dentistry school, I was still too scared to just do like fine arts or something, so I went into architecture and graphic design, like a dual study thing in Germany. And then after that, I just worked for architects and then realized that that's way too boring for myself. And architecture is very slow and I have no patience at all. So then I was like, okay, cool. And that was in New York. I went to work here. And then I decided to go to grad school for more like product design, furniture design, just because that's quicker than like building a building.
Yeah, architecture takes forever.
Yeah. And so I did that and then came back to New York after my master's and started back in architecture for some weird reason. But then slowly like went into the brand world and stayed a long time in like agencies and mostly on brand side, branding, graphic design, you know, working with clients. And I was at Matter Design and Rowan Co., Hugo Marie, like all the design studios, but as well as startups like Kickstarter and General Assembly. But always on the side, I had Studio Proba, even just because, you know, a job is a job. And even though you know, you care about it, you never care as much about it as your own stuff.
Yeah.
So I always had my own stuff, but I wasn't allowed to do it because, I mean, sell it because I was on a visa sponsored by a company.
Yeah.
So yeah, but my studios actually has been my little thing always there since 2013. So it's 10 years next year,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then I moved. My last role was like 5 or 4 years ago at Nike. And then I think after that, I was just like, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go and see what happens if I do my own thing. And yeah, and ever since I've been not doing any double work shifts, just my studio. So
yeah. Concentrating on that.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's been an interesting journey, and you've done a lot of different things throughout that journey, haven't you, Alex?
What are
some of the highlights, like leading up to getting to Studio Proba, like in the early days? What were some of the things that you were really proud of designing?
So I just knew I want to do my own thing, but I didn't have like a business plan written out or a strategy or a project. I just kind of went with whatever I could do in the time that I had left at night and stuff, because, you know, when you have a full-time job, often in the creative industry, you're not home at 6 or 7, you're home later. And so I started this project, A Poster a Day, where I did a poster every day because I gave myself 30 minutes, and then whatever the hell I do, I just posted on Instagram, and I had like 20 followers. I had no followers then. And it was just like a fun thing to do for me after work, like keeping a diary almost. And then the project somehow started getting a lot of traction through media and Instagram, and I was like, oh shit, now I have to continue doing that.
Yeah.
And then I actually continued doing it for 4 consecutive years, but changed every year up. So like the first year was my diary, the second year was anyone could submit their story that they wanted to tell me, and I translated it visually. And then the third year was about questions, so they asked me questions, I answered them visually. And the fourth year was about women, so stories of women that inspired you or whoever that submitted. And that project just really blew up in a weird way, from like gallery shows to just like people on the other line waiting for me to do something kind of thing. It was like a community project that actually grew my presence.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's online, and I think from then on, I kind of had a platform built to be like, cool, I also made a chair and a rug. And I just, it was like, because I had people watching, and so I just started just doing things. Like I turned some of the posters into rugs because my background in furniture and so I just started doing and adding like projects, started doing collaborations with furniture makers and studios I really liked. And collaboration was really important to me just because, again, I was still in a job. And if there is someone waiting for you to do something, you kind of like do it, right? You don't say like, oh yeah, maybe tomorrow, because you owe it to someone else, because otherwise you waste that person's time. So I was doing a lot of collaborations and yeah, and slowly I got, you know, asked for murals and other projects, and I somehow just fell into art, even though I'm not a fine artist. Maybe now I am, but I wasn't. And so it was just like every day I just went with the flow, and I still do the same. It looks like I have it all figured out, but I don't. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So it's the truth.
I love how you kind of put that. I think that's true of a lot of people, isn't it, when it comes to creative stuff. Maybe you don't always, yeah, you always know exactly why it's working or what's happening, but it, nope. There's a sort of illusion on the surface that it looks like.
Yeah, because you always see his Instagram, or you know, yeah, you see the final outputs. You don't see me running around like a headless chicken, like trying to figure out things, and then you don't see me on the other side, meaning dealing with having a business and employees and paying the bills, making like or packing shipments, which we still do ourselves. For sending out orders, like, you don't see that stuff, right? You just see, look, this pretty painting I made, or look at this. So it is, and I get a lot of emails with like, tell me how to do it. I was like, I don't know, like, I don't even know how I'm doing it. So I think I just kept going with like the flow and just trying to survive every day and see where each day like leads me, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, when we talked before, Alex, one of the things that we chatted about, which I find I'm always talking about, maybe, is swimming pools and your designs for those pools, which I think are absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
I have my $10 million house in LA, once I've made a movie,
I'm
going to get you to come and design the pool. But yeah, talk to us about the pools that you've been doing recently. You've done a few. There was one in Palm Springs, wasn't there?
Two in Palm Springs. One in Rancheria Mirage, which is almost Palm Springs. But yeah, I have a bucket list of projects I really want to do and in my life, and one of them was a pool.
Yeah.
And I always thought it's like a lost canvas, like people just never do anything nice with it. I mean, blue is nice, but you know, don't get me wrong, I think it's like a perfect canvas to do something else. And so I did a lot of like studies and renders and sketches and posted them also to just like put it out in the universe to actually get a client with a pool. And then I finally did, and and I did two in Palm Springs, and then I did a bunch of others, but mostly the outside of the pool, which is also cool. And then I'm doing two more this year, but they're gonna be all hand painted tile, like custom made mosaic and stuff, so they're gonna be another level than the first ones. So yeah, I'm excited.
I can't wait to see those. Are you allowed to reveal where those ones are going to be?
Both in Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Weirdly enough, both in Florida.
And actually, we were talking about one that you did, now I remember, it was in Roosevelt Island, which is in New York. Is that pool still...
It's there,
We could have met there. We could have gone for a swim.
Yeah, it's actually not... It's like for the people that live in the building.
In the apartments,
so
right.
You can't visit it, but they're doing rotating murals every year, I think, so I'm not sure if they still rotate them, but pools like that, out, like if you paint outside where you actually have a lot of traffic and walk, you know, you have to upkeep them pretty well because it's only paint. So they just decided to like rotate, instead of just like upkeeping and refreshing the same art, they're rotating artists. And I think 2020 was my year, which was a good one because everyone was stuck at home. And so it was, I think, for the residents there, it was like really cool to just like watch out of the windows how we were painting the pool and like getting some color into their lives, even though they're like, you know, kind of isolated during that time. So that was.
There's a guy doing some kind of
clap dance.
A clap dance. I've never seen that before. Maybe let's stroll over. Let's stroll over here a little bit. The clapping's quite loud, actually.
It's very loud.
But yeah, I think. Yeah, I think the pools are, I love them, Alex. I think they look awesome. And I was interested in how pools and art, there's actually a bit of a connection, isn't there? You see Hockney and Picasso.
Yeah, I mean, it's been done before, for sure, yeah.
And I think, there was some kind of pool-related art at LACMA once as well. But mostly pools are kind of, they're just there. They're kind of a big canvas waiting to be...
Yeah.
Kind of explored, aren't they?
Yeah, so. And it's awesome because they like have two lives too, because the empty artwork, when the pool is empty, looks completely different than when you fill it with water.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a really cool thing too. And I always am really good in documenting stuff. I want to have everything like a million times photographed rather than no pictures. So I always like document it without and with. And it's just like a whole, it's like two artworks almost because the colors change through the blue. And so like yellows become greens and things like that. So.
And I guess you were thinking specifically about how the water would affect the colour when you were thinking
about the designs. I do like 3D renders ahead of time and fill the 3D render basically with fake water on the computer.
That's
to
cool.
see that effect, to also show the client what they're going to get, because sometimes like, I want this navy and this blue. I was like, you won't even see that. You know, you will see it as black and nothing, right?
Yeah.
So it's helpful if you visualize it ahead of time of how it's going to look with water.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think color is something that's more kind of powerful than people realize? Like, do you think there's the kind of philosophical aspect of colors for you that's more than just...
I think so, yeah. And it's like, I think a lot of people are afraid of colors too, for I don't know what reason, but it's weird because like every time someone sees my work or looks at my work, they always just like, oh, it just makes me so happy. And I was just like, it's partly my work because it is very naive and happy, but it's also very much the color that just like change their environment like instantly. And I think they, at least for me personally, they definitely uplift my mood, and I feel way more comfortable in a home that's like warm and colorful than not, right?
So yeah.
And I grew up in a than not, so I think it was like always a battle. I wanted to have like a red wall, I remember as a kid, and that was not allowed in my parents' house. They're like, no, like white, black and white, and navy only kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think they didn't even, I think my mom is still scared of color, like even in her house now, she only now got two of my rugs, even though I'm making it for almost 10 years. She finally embraced it, and it was like she had to buy new rugs because her beige ones were getting old. So she was like, I'm doing it. And she like got some color, but while ordering them for me, she's like, you think this one is too much?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, not too much.
Yeah.
And she is now really happy, but it's just like just until you don't have it, you don't really know what it's going
to
do.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, it's just occurring to me as well, we're quite near 11 Howard, where Anna Delvey famously stayed for a long time and didn't pay the bill.
Oh,
and
was it there?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's so funny, because that's what I'm just saying.
I was going to say, is that near where you're... Right,
I'm staying at 11
You're staying at 11 Howard.
Yeah.
That's where, and I've stayed there as well, and that's where Anna Delvey famously, took them to the cleaners. And Anna...
Wait, that's the one?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one where she where
so
she stayed.
Funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even put it together.
I don't know if they've got a plaque up outside or anything.
They do?
I don't know.
We'll
have a look later, maybe.
They don't have it there.
Right,
yeah, because I stayed there all week, so I would have...
Right, that's fine. Right.
Yeah.
But Anna, of course, famously only wears black. And when you go to a lot of those kind of... Not that I'm... asked to go to many fashion week parties, but you see everyone wearing black, and in the art world as well, there's a lot of like,
it's changing.
There's kind of an austerity. Is it changing
it's
now?
Changing.
Do you think people are kind of embracing?
I feel like even with like the just now the Paris Fashion Week that just happened last week, you see definitely more. I mean, there's still the black, but it's changing a lot. And I think with just like Balenciaga or Bottega Veneta having like all these bright own colors, I think Valentino has the pink. Bottega has the green, and I think them owning a color now, they're kind of like all bright out of nowhere, like Anne Hathaway was wearing like all pink and stuff, so I think it's changing a little bit, like everyone is embracing color, even in that fashion.
You were ahead of the curve, Alex.
I don't think
you started the
I need
trend.
To buy my own color.
What color would you choose? What would be your
it's, it's funny how that works, because I don't people ask me always about my favorite color, and I don't have one. Like, there's colors I don't even like, but I use them in my work often because they go really well with the whole thing. So like orange is like a color that I will never really like go and just like, let's paint the wall orange or get my bed sheets in orange, but it's, you can find it in almost every of my paintings, so artwork is orange in there, but it's just such a good like complementary color to make it all feel good. So I don't think I have one color. And then again, like, it keeps changing, right? So, like, I wouldn't even know, but I think it would be really hard for me to be like, oh, I want to be a purple or pink. But my partner, who's been with me for a long time, he always calls it Proba Peach, even though
Proba Peach.
Yeah, so he was always like, Proba Peach, look, Proba Peach.
Yeah.
And he means that kind of nudie color.
Yeah.
But that was like beginning of my career. I used a lot of that, yeah. And then, and I still use it, but not as much. But he still calls it Proba Peach. So
I love that.
Anything he sees, like, let's get Proba Peach this, Proba Peach that. I'm like, okay.
I was reading the other day about Massimo Vignelli. I love graphic design and his work on the New York subway system, and I think the use of colours in the subway system and the maps and the bullets and things, I think works very, very well and gives it actually a nice kind of clarity. I think the New York subway system is quite complicated in a lot of ways, and I think, you know, the way they use colours actually helps to, you know, to simplify, to navigate the system. So I think that's another example where actually, you know, you can say, like today I was thinking in my mind, okay, I need to get the yellow train. It was like the Q train. I was like, okay, I need to get the yellow one.
Yeah.
You just look for the yellow and kind of go towards it.
Yeah,
so.
And then it's kind of easy because only uptown, no downtown, right?
Right, so exactly. Well, then you've got the whole question of whether you should get an express or not, but that's a conversation for a different day. But yeah, colour's certainly very, very important, isn't it? Well, let's take a final stroll over here just before we finish, Alex, and we'll walk around... maybe where the music is and the dominoes are and stuff. And
sounds good.
Maybe we'll just finish by maybe discussing what your plans are for the future and what kind of projects you have lined up. What are you sort of working on at the moment?
Yeah, I'm working on so many things all the time. I think that's just how my brain works and how I function. So when, like, even with the pandemic, when that happened, my first reaction was like, okay, cool, work, get the projects out of the, you know, the ones that I never have time for, out of the folders, and like start doing them. And so one of them I'm launching in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I don't know, on the 28th of October. I have Studio Proba and then I have Proba Home, but I'm going to launch Proba Paws. So it's like a whole pet line with everything you need for your little pet and nice furnitures. And
that sounds so cute.
Everything. So we just finished like the photo shoot for that and stuff. And then obviously I'm working on the pools and a couple other murals. And then I'm doing public sculptures for a commission in Dubai for a permanent public sculpture project. So for the beginning of spring next year. So it's been busy and
that
fun.
Sounds really interesting.
All random stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah. What kind of stuff can you get for your pets if you wanted to get something for a dog? What would you suggest from the line, Alex?
There's so much. In the beginning, I have a dog that I mentioned 10 times already. But in the beginning,
what's your
I was
dog
like.
Again?
What's his name? Sam, and he's just a total mutt from Texas rescue, but he's like a shepherd something, very smart, very cute.
Yeah.
But buying stuff for him, especially because I care about space and like furniture and all that stuff, it was really hard for me to like find the right bed or that I like, that is like, you know, in the also handmade or like some kind of like thought to it and love to it rather than just like produced and mass-produced somewhere. So I wanted to first just add dog beds to my home line, but then it started with dog beds, and then it started with dog tags and my shapes where you can put engrave the name in, and then it started with blankets, and then it started like continued with that my shapes would be awesome as dog toys as well. So now it's like a whole line of, I think, from bowls to anything you can imagine for the dog, and
brilliant.
90% sustainable and like handmade. So that was kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Like dog toys are not regulated in the US and I think not in Europe either. So you could just like use the worst plastic if you wanted to, which I think is crazy because they are like extension of our family. So the dog toys they are made, they're all like medical grade silicone. And I tried to like, even though it's more expensive obviously to produce, I kind of like value the, to be like the integrity of doing good for them as well. So I tried really hard. So hopefully it's been a year and a half in the making. And so
sounds fantastic. And then off to Dubai for the public sculpture.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
So if that all, you know, knock on wood, it all happens. But it looks like it. So
perfect. Right, so we're going to let you get back to the Anna Delvey suite in your hotel, Alex.
I actually just checked out today. I have my computer and everything here.
Wow, you travel light.
Yeah, and then the rest of the desk.
Yep. Exactly.
So, but I had no idea that was that hotel. But
True story.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
Not paid my bill.
Yeah, why did you pay the bill? Exactly.
Exactly.
You could have just left.
Exactly.
That's what you're supposed to do there. Just don't pay.
That's funny.
Alex, I hope you've enjoyed walking around Columbus Park with
thank
me today.
You.
Yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe I'll see you when I'm in Portland next time.
Yeah, let me know when you're there.
Definitely.
Or in LA or somewhere else.
Will do. Cool. Okay, thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you.
That episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad. Make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcast from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk. And if you see me walking around in the park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.